Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Good evening and welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, Red Beckman, the self-confessed hayseed from Montana, and Dr. Kate. And Dr. Kate, what do you profess to be?
Let me see.
I'm a Tennessee hillbilly.
Okay, well, how about a mustard seed from the desert?
Mustard seed. You know, I think that may stick.
Thank you.
Is Red on with us yet? He said he might be a few minutes late this evening.
Not quite yet.
Well, I guess if we open ourselves up with prayer, that'll give him a shot at getting in here and joining us at the beginning of the discussion. So I will open us in prayer. Almighty Father God, we thank you for another beautiful day in your creation, and we acknowledge you as the creator. We acknowledge you also as the source of all truth and of all sovereign right. If we have any rights at all, it's because you've granted them to us. And we're just thankful for that, and we're thankful that we have you at the top of our pecking order here at Walls in Our Minds. And Father, it's our goal to help people to understand how important it is to keep you at the top of that pecking order. And so we ask you to help us. Help us bring a message forward that will glorify you and help people to understand their need for you and your Son in their life and how valuable it is to be filled with your Spirit, to have that God-shaped vacuum inside us filled with your Spirit. So we invite your Spirit. We invite you to go before us in everything that we do here at Walls in Our Minds. We ask you to bless our listeners and help them to understand the message that you want us to bring forward. And I lift up my brother Red tonight and pray for a healing hand on him, because he's been going through a lot. And, of course, he's 84 years old. And of course, you expect to have a few things and hiccups and problems at that age. But you know, he's been fighting that battle, and we love him very dearly, and we want him to be around for a long time yet to come, because we need him in this spiritual battle that we're fighting. And we're thankful that you brought him into our lives and that you are mentoring us through him. And so we ask for your healing hand on him, that we're not ready to let him go. So hopefully he's listening or will be joining us shortly, but we just pray for your blessing upon him, and be with us this night here on the show. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Red's live. Red, say hello.
I'm on now.
Well, good. We're glad you're here with us. We just finished praying, if you didn't hear that, so.
I got here a little late. I was afraid of it, that I would, but.
Well, we have not launched off into the discussion yet, so you are right on time.
And, that's good. Let's go.
Kate, you want me to open this up, or you want to kind of share some thoughts about what the events that's been going on here in the last couple of days? I know that, you know, we talked about it a little bit last night on your show, on Revolution Radio, and I'm wondering if you have some opening thought here.
Well, I really don't have an opening thought because I have several opening thoughts, so not a single one. But I'd like to turn it over to you right away, but I'd just like to remind everybody of the number of events that are going on. We talked about the events in Libya last night on the show, but wake up this morning and find out that the Fed has launched QE3, which is the quantitative easing, the third round, and it's buying $40 billion of debt per month. And I think that forms a good background for what you have in mind this evening, Terry, because the title of the show is Who are the real terrorists? And this quantitative easing and the purchase of the debt for which we have to pay back is certain slavery. So I think I'm just going to leave it right there and let you start out.
Well, Red, I kind of want you to hold your final thought for a little while, and that is regarding who controls our media and our information systems. I'd kind of like to come at that kind of slowly, if you will. And I'd like to throw some thoughts out. One is, you know, I always remember Pat Shannon's book, the title of that book, Everything They've Ever Told Us Was a Lie. And I believe that Pat was very close to being 100% accurate in his everything, because they've given us a lot of things that were enough truth to bring us along so that we'll buy the lies if they mix in with it. And there's been an awful lot of truth that they have not, that they've held back and not told us. And we've learned about how they've fomented every war since, you know, the French Revolution and possibly even before that, and how that the reasons or the justifications for those wars that they have presented and convinced everyone about and written into our history books have for the most part been deceptions, deliberate and willful deceptions, because they've used those wars, they've used these conflicts in order to control population and to make large, huge amounts of money off of them. And we know that there's been, you know, for lack of a better word, a conspiracy amongst a bunch of families for a long time in order that they could take control of a lot of things. And they've been run out of many, many countries, you know, possibly like 30 countries. These folks have been run out of countries. And because of the way they do business and the way that they really don't have any moral ethics in doing the way they do business. They will do anything they can in order to come about getting to their agenda and accomplishing their goals. And here we are. We're looking at what we're being told is going on in Syria and Libya. And it just dawned on me, one question that came forward, the first question really that popped into my mind about this was, if Gaddafi were alive today, would that embassy have been attacked? Would that ambassador have been murdered the way he was and put through the torturous treatment that he was? Would that have happened had Gaddafi been in charge? And I'm going to ask you two to respond to specifically that for a moment, that question.
And this is Dr. Cade, and the answer is no, that would not have happened if Gaddafi was still alive. And I've seen lots of reports today that basically confirm that. It was, however we think it was in Libya, it was stable for the United States. There was no such mayhem and murder and just absolute insane craziness until NATO and the United States started bombing and they got rid of Gaddafi, who was murdered in the same way that the U.S. ambassador was. So I think that's pretty startling that supposedly on the greatest deception that we have, we're getting rid of these dictators, and in fact, what's being replaced is murderous regimes. So my short answer is the ambassador would still be alive right now.
Rip?
Yeah, I agree with you, Kate. There's no argument there. Gaddafi was running an orderly system, and Libya was prospering basically under Gaddafi. And sure, he may have had some shortcomings, but I'm sure that you will never find a politician that has 100% approval rating with the people that are in his governing area. And so I think that was a good way to start this out, if Gaddafi had been still in charge there, would it have happened? No, absolutely not.
Well, let's share a little bit with the people about what Gaddafi did in Libya. You know, there's no question that he was a dictator. We don't question that. We don't question that he did some things that were pretty rough around the edges, and he wasn't a perfect guy. He didn't run the ideal situation. But Kate, how did he treat women?
Well, women were educated. Women were free. Women did not have to wear any head coverings and so forth. There were women in government, there were just a very few reports about the changing of the guard after Gaddafi was gone about how terrible the situation was going to be for women, and it already has been. I also want to report that Libya has the largest freshwater groundwater supply in all of northern Africa. It was huge, and there were plans being made to distribute that water to the drier countries. And, you know, it's a big deal over there, but they had the biggest, cleanest Nubian sandstone aquifer. It was gigantic. And not to steal your thunder, Terry, because I know you were going to go into this issue, but Libya had no central bank, and Gaddafi was considering using gold, replacing the dollar with gold as the medium of exchange. So overall, from the standpoint of women and education and children and so forth and so on, it was way better than it is right now. And what do you see of any women anywhere in any film or any video coverage of Libya at all? They're terrified. So it's been a gigantic leap backwards for women as Sharia law becomes a place. And again, I agree with Red. Gaddafi definitely had his shortcomings, but the people were way better off. And you might want to talk about how much it cost people to per gallon of gas over there.
It's my understanding that Gaddafi was holding the price of gas down to 14 cents a gallon for his people. So he was a man of his people. The people over there did not despise Gaddafi. So somebody had to foment that situation for them to go after him the way that they did. The old saying is follow the money, isn't it, Red?
That's what they say, and it pretty well holds true in all situations.
Well, Gaddafi did not allow the, as Alfred Lawson called them, the alien financiers, he did not allow them to come in there and set up their central bank so that they could bleed that country of its assets and its production. And I will make this statement without trying to support it fully tonight, but I'm going to make it based on my research, and that is that every president that has been assassinated in this country was assassinated for one primary reason. Now, there's usually been more reasons than that, but the one thread that always shows up is the fact that those presidents that have been assassinated have done something to take on the central bankers, the alien financiers, the international banksters, as I call them. And Mr. Gaddafi was keeping them from coming in and pillaging the economics of the people of Libya. So they had to take him out. And immediately, the first thing that happened over there that Hillary and others were involved in was installing a central bank in Libya. And if you'll look at other situations, Korea, for example, and other situations around the world where they have created this instability, the first thing that happens in each and every one of those countries is that a central bank is put into place. So now here we are with this situation today. And what are you guys seeing that raises red flags for you? Red, you want to go first? Was it you or which one of you was telling me about the fact that it appears that it was not a large demonstration, but rather a small group that pulled this off?
Well, I saw that on national news, and I don't remember, but I think it was CBS last night, but I don't remember. I don't get to watch the national news very often, so I'm not all that familiar with it. But they said that it appeared that it wasn't a deal like we see on the news, hundreds of thousands of people in the town square or in the streets waving their fists and burning the American flag and all of that kind of thing. They didn't have that kind of backup. It was, they said it looked like a terrorist attack. And so I think we need to ask the question, who are the masters on this planet? Who are the masters of terrorism? And that's kind of a tricky question, perhaps.
Let's not answer that one just yet.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let Kate pop in on that last question, and then we'll go where you want to go, Red. I just want to get there a little slower.
Yeah.
You know, I heard the reports too that it was a small group. And then I find out through Twitter that the Libyan government is involved and engaged in the murder. They were tweeting what was happening and who killed who. And, of course, there's nothing that was said by the Libyan government to condemn the attacks. They have supposedly made arrests today, but... I think that question, who are the real terrorists, is really important here. Now, we know that this whole quote-unquote Arab Spring has been funded by people like George Soros, one of these international financiers or alien financiers, and everyone else. And we also know that right after Gaddafi was murdered, a central bank was set up. And a number of other things began to happen. So I am extremely suspicious. I know that Gaddafi, that our forces, the CIA and so forth, had a lot to do with bringing him down. It was not just the NATO pilots, but it was our people on the ground who found him and were part of the murder and mayhem. So let's broaden the camera angle and see how many U.S. forces were involved there. I also note that there were no U.S. Marines guarding the embassy, and the same with Egypt, and that any of our U.S. Marines guarding embassies are not allowed to carry live rounds. So it is it's a setup for our fall. So I'm very suspicious of circumstances surrounding the ambassador's death and who is involved. And Obama called the Libyan president today and thanked him for his support. So what does that mean? Also, we are aware that Obama is not calling this a terrorist attack. Now, whether he's just trying to put focus on Muslims and radical Muslims and ignore the bankers' role in this, but these people had to get their weapons and their keys and their ideas and plans from somewhere. And whoever it is, it's more than the angry crowd we saw on the video footage.
Well, let's answer this question, and it'll kind of tip our hand, but who will benefit most by the activities of the last couple of days? Kate, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think the people who want to bring the United States down are going to benefit from this. I think that, you know, you have to see that the bankers are going to benefit from this as well. Anybody who wants to clamp down and control will benefit from this. As far as the American people or the Libyan people, they don't benefit from this at all. There is clearly something else going on. The involvement of an American ambassador and the, you know, the endless campaigning that Obama's doing, that not seeming to pay attention, the apologies that our government has issued. I note that today that they went after the filmmaker who made the film that supposedly caused the murder and mayhem. And, of course, the filmmaker is supposedly a Coptic Christian, and everybody's claiming innocence as what the, you know, the actors and so forth that were in the film. And you begin to wonder what a setup this is, because the first thing everybody did was apologize for that film. So that sounds to me like Fast and Furious, because we're apologizing for free speech. And what comes then is this hatred of America. And what is that really based on? Do they hate America because of our free speech, or do they hate America for another reason? So I'm not diminishing this death of the ambassador or the seriousness of the incidents, but if you look at the behavior of people around this, it's very, very telling.
Well, see, I agree they should apologize for that film, but not for the same reason. They should apologize for that film just because it is so pathetically bad that and poorly done that I've seen many home movies that were made with higher quality than that film. You saw the trailer. What did you think?
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And, you know, the filmmaker has been in jail and has huge liens on his property and has been fined big time, and you just wonder if this was one of his ways to get out of his punishment, was to make something like this that we could use, you know, that the nefarious powers in our government could use to foment riots. So what does it do to people in the United States? I mean, it horrifies us. Not the film, but the event that happened, it makes us angry. It makes us want to go after Muslims. And isn't that the perfect setup for creating the same kind of thing in America? And then we get all the stories of Obama shipping in radical Muslims, using our tax dollars to do so. So again, this is unbelievable to me. But as we were saying last night, it is absolutely part of a grand design to destabilize, because it has taken our focus off who the real terrorists are. And just like Ben Bernanke today and the QE3, that's a terrorist, another terrorist attack on our country. But no, everybody's talking about the ambassador and our government's poor response, and, you know, they seem to be playing their roles perfectly as to being befuddled and confused and sending mixed messages, and so it stinks, if you will. And if we are practicing discerning the truth, nothing that we have heard or seen or been described is the truth about what has happened. I don't trust any of it. And
I want to throw some things out. Go ahead and finish your thought. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. I was about to just keep rattling on, so please go ahead.
Okay. The group of people who fomented our first two wars, the major world wars, are the ones who were trying to establish a Zionist nation. The World Zionist Congress that was formed were responsible for the nation of Israel being put into place as it is today. And I'm speaking specifically about the Rothschilds and that group of Khazarians, if you will. It was also Rothschild who helped set up the Vatican Bank. It was also the Rothschilds who put the World Zionist Congress together. And in that Congress, they planned to take over the top 25 print media newspaper operations in the world. And they ultimately bought all of our movie production studios, all the way going back to the 1900 era, where they were founding these movie production studios and buying up our newspapers. Today, those same people own the Federal Reserve System. The same people own all of our media outlets, all of our networks, all of our cable, all of our satellites. These same people are the ones who planned the One World Order. And what we know about them is that they came out of a pagan idol-worshipping group and were proselytized by a Kabbalist Talmudic group of rabbis that converted them to what they call Judaism. But understand, they do not follow the Torah. Now, we've talked about this a lot on this show, and we're going to continue to talk about it. But the fact of the matter is that these are the people who went in and set up the central bank in Libya and in everywhere else that central banks have been set up. It's been the same people. It's been the same people who have fomented all of our wars. So now we look back at Pat Shannon's comment, and we see that everything we've been told was a lie. Well, why should we believe what they're telling us now? Why should we accept anything that comes off of any major media outlet regarding Libya or Syria or any place else in the world, particularly Iran? So now, Red, I come back to you, and I want you to finish your thought about who has proven historically to be the master terrorist in the world?
Well, I'll tell you, it's it's said that. Let me back up. The series of programs that we've had now, I think this is the fourth or fifth week. Looking at the counterfeits and such, and we started out with what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, where when he was asked when would our Messiah King return, he was asked that question, and he said, well, there's going to be a falling away first. And I have, I claim to have been around long enough to see this falling away. It has happened in my lifetime. And the falling away, as far as I'm concerned, has come about because the American people, and particularly the evangelical churches, they have decided that anybody that is involved in the religion known as Judaism, that they, and they are called Jews, that every one of them is one of God's chosen, and that you dare not say anything negative or bad about these people because they're blessed of God and they are so rich and they're so powerful because they're blessed of God. Now, that's a very, very basic idea that is the basis of where we're at in the world today, I think, and at least in my estimation. Let me go to John the 8th chapter, and I won't read it, but there was a confrontation between God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah King. There was a confrontation between him and some of these people known as Jews. And Christ made a statement. He says, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, we've got to remember that. We've got to really hang our hat on that particular statement by our Messiah King, that if you know the truth, you can be free. If you don't know the truth, you're going to be a servant, you're going to be a slave, you're going to be used, you're going to be violated, you're going to be just absolutely anything but free. And so Christ is telling them, this group of that were challenging him, and he said that, know the truth and it'll make you free. And they said, well, that's, you're talking about something that we aren't. We were never in bondage. Well, this was a confession on the part of those Jews at that point in time, because what they were, when they said they had never been in bondage, they were saying that they were not Israel. Israel. Israel is God's chosen. That's what the scripture tells us. And those Jews there in John 8, they said, we were never in bondage. But they were Jews. So here we are in a situation where we have to go then to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and 23:15. And this is a verse that I memorized many years ago, and I've had to quote it many, many times. And Christ is having a verbal confrontation with the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees are the hierarchy. They are the upper level in the religion known as Judaism. And they were having a verbal confrontation, and in that 15th verse, Christ told them, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte." And there's the key word, proselyte. Now I'm going to back up a little bit here. He said, "Ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when you have made him, he becomes the twofold son of hell, even worse than yourselves." He's telling those scribes and Pharisees, "You're bad. But when you proselyte somebody to your religion, and if you get them to believe, accept your religion, Judaism, then they become twice the son of hell. They're twice as bad as you, the hierarchy of Judaism." And so this is a verse of Scripture that has to be understood. It has to be recognized that basically what Christ is saying here, well, there's more than just one thing that he's saying, but he is saying one thing loud and clear, and that is that Judaism is a religion. Being a Jew is someone who is involved in Judaism. It's like if someone is involved with Methodism, why, they are a Methodist. If they're involved in the Baptist faith, why, they're a Baptist. If they're involved in the Catholic religion, why, then they're a Catholic. And anybody that's involved with Judaism, they are called Jews, which is just a breakdown of the word Judaism. And so what we have to understand is that the Ashkenazi Jew, the proselyted people, and see over there in that counterfeit Israel, you see they brag that 90% of the people living in that country over there that they have stolen from their proper owners, 90% of them are Ashkenazi. In other words, they are proselytes to Judaism, the religion of Judaism. Now, let's just kind of get a better look about Judaism. If you ask some of these big-name preachers in fundamental Christian religions, you ask them, who do the people in Judaism, in their synagogues, who do they pray to? Who's the God that they pray to? Well, they'll say, oh, they pray to the same God we do. Well, that doesn't work, because in John 14, Christ said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." If you wanna approach our Heavenly Father, our Creator, you're going to have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Judaism, they deny that Christ is our soon-coming Messiah King. They deny that he was the Son of God. You go to 1 John, and it says that anybody that denies that Christ came as God in the flesh that they are, you know, they're not true. There's no truth in them, you see. And in Judaism, they absolutely have nothing good to say for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very, very bad what they say. And so let's take a look at the world's religions. The Muslims, they pray to Allah. They've got their God that they pray to. The Buddhists, who do they pray to? They pray to Buddha. And in Japan, the people pray to the emperor. That's Shintoism. We Christians who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Messiah King and our Savior, we pray to our Heavenly Father by way of the door that was opened for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we ask the Jew, who do you pray to? Now, I'm not kidding you a bit. If you are talking to a Jew on a one-on-one basis and you ask them, who is the God of Judaism? Who do you pray to in your synagogues? And you will get the shock of your life because they will tell you in no uncertain terms that the God that they pray to is Lucifer. Now, I have brought this out before in the past, how that Christ was tempted after he was in the wilderness for 40 days. Lucifer took him up on a high mountain, and he showed him the kingdoms of the earth. And the kingdoms of the earth represent the wealth and the power of the earth. And Lucifer said, I will give you all of this. He would give all of this, all of these kingdoms to Christ if he would bow down and serve Lucifer. And, of course, Christ turned him down, refused. But you will find that Judaism, the God of Judaism, is Lucifer. And it's in their own writings. It's there. It's there. I've explained this to a lot of people. I explained it to one of my brother-in-laws who has now passed away. He was a World War II hero. He's quite a bit older than I. And they were people involved in evangelical Christianity. And I explained this to him one time, and he thought I was crazy. And then about a month later, it was a holiday, and So my sister-in-law invited one of her nieces and her two little boys to come out to their place. This is in California for the dinner, the holiday. And she came, and she had a new boyfriend, and he was a young Jewish boy. And so my brother-in-law told me about it. He said, here I am sitting in the living room. My niece, he says, was in the kitchen with her aunt, and I am here sitting in the living room talking to a complete stranger. And we had to have something to talk about, and they ended up talking about religion. And the young Jew said that he was part of Judaism. And my brother-in-law, he remembered what I had told him. And he said, well, who do you pray to in your services, your church services? And the young fellow, my brother-in-law, said he never batted an eye. He just said, we pray to Lucifer. He is the God of our faith. And so they brag about it. And it just absolutely amazes me that they can... hoodwink so many people, the falling away has happened because our ministers in their pulpits and such have just failed totally to understand the scriptures and to understand Judaism and what it is, the Talmudism. The Talmud is the Bible of Judaism, and it's one of the most vile, evil books you'll ever get your hands on if you are, well, for many centuries, anybody that wasn't Jewish, if they were caught reading the Talmud, they were to be murdered. They were to be wiped out at that point. Now, there are some around now at this point in time, and some people are able to have some access to them. But I can assure you they're bad news. Now, I've gone way longer than I should have here. I got wound up and it was hard to stop. But I'm going to stop now and turn this back to Terry.
Well, you didn't get down to the answer to the question that you started to answer earlier that I stopped you from, and that is, who are specifically, historically, been proven to be the masters, the true masters of terrorism?
Well, Satan is the master of terrorism, and because Satan is the god of confusion, he's the god of fear. Our God, the God we serve, is the God of love and justice and truth. And Lucifer, of course, is the opposite. He is the God of confusion. He is the God of death and murder and wars and bloodshed and terror. He is the master of terrorism, and his children, Christ in John the 8th, chapter, when he was talking to that group of Jews that I mentioned earlier, he said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Now, that to me says that the Lord Jesus Christ would be classified as anti-Semitic in our world today. And I have been classified as that many times in my lifetime, but I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ called them people that they were of their father, the devil, I'm not going to argue with Christ on that, because in my lifetime I've seen enough of the mischief and the murder and the killing and the terror of the people that serve Lucifer. And so probably I... have gone a little too far here, but I don't think so. I think we have to face up to this. We're running out of time.
Well, just we got plenty. Well, time tonight for the show, or time?
I'm talking about time before our Messiah King comes. We got over an hour yet.
Yes. Whose fingerprints are on this job in Libya? Whose fingerprints are on a lot of these?
I am convinced that it was the Israeli Mossad that was involved in the Oklahoma City bombing. I'm absolutely convinced that the Israeli Mossad was involved in the World Trade Center disaster, and when I see something like what happened in Libya, I immediately start looking for the pieces that can be put together to where we get a pretty good picture of what really happened. And so, I've been involved somewhat in the Oklahoma City investigation. And what all happened there, and of course less with the World Trade Center thing, but there are people out there who are doing the research and such on the World Trade Center situation. The educated professionals out there, when they checked things out and found that there was thermite, weapons-grade thermite, involved in the stuff that came down that had to be cleaned up when the Trade Center came down, this thermite is not just anything that would have been on that plane, on those planes that hit those towers. And so somebody put it there. And, of course, they've got that building number 7. They can't seem to answer that one. There was no plane hit it or anything. And then it went down in the afternoon. And it was reported in London, England, in the press before it ever even happened, that Building 7 went down. And so there's enough evidence, to back up what I've been saying.
Well, you know, just as the Jesuit order is the militant arm of the Vatican, and probably the masters of subversion all over the world, I would go so far as to say that historically it's been pretty much proven that the Mossad are the greatest masters of terrorism. And the same people that they work for are the same people that control all of the media and information flow worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So your reaction to what you see has become a reaction to what I see, Red, and that is that I immediately start looking for the pieces and looking to see who benefits from it and following the money. And when you do that, you recognize that what they're telling you is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
This was not an attack on the American people. And that's what they're trying to tell us. They're trying to tell us that this was an attack on America, which in essence equates to those people who still are walking around with the red, white, and blue fever, not understanding the difference between that and true patriotism. And they immediately take it to heart that this is an attack on us. And that is precisely what they want us to believe. Because they want us to be ready to go to war. And the question, another question that I had earlier that I didn't get out, and Kate, I'd ask you to respond to this as well. Do the American people differentiate very well between Libya and Iran and Saudi Arabia? Do they make that distinction to the level that it really exists in those countries? In other words, do we see one Arab as all Arabs? Do we see one Muslim as, you know, all Muslims?
I think the American people do not distinguish. And I think that's part of the lie that we have been fed, is to see them all that way. I wanted to just add, in terms of the Mossad and everything else, it's the same people who control the money system. And to have QE3 get snuck in at the time when they're ramping up the anti-Arab, anti-Islam, bomb the Middle East, rah-rah USA, we were attacked. It's the broad approach. There is no discernment and there's no seeking the truth. They don't let us seek the truth, but frankly, a lot of people would rather believe it's, red, white, and blue fever, and let's go for it.
Well, it's tough because, there's a lot of people out there that really want to support our soldiers. And that's the other thing they play on. They play
that's
on
right.
this concept of, if you don't think we should attack Iran, you're not supporting our soldiers. Well, you don't think we should be in Afghanistan, you're not supporting our soldiers. And that is a bunch of bunk. And, boy, how do we break through this thing to get to the point where people can have the same reaction that Red and I do, and that is that we immediately start looking for the pieces of what's going on and what's really happening and who's really benefiting from this, and ignoring what the talking heads on the television set are trying to convince us of. How do we get the bulk of the American people to wake up and start recognizing that they are being lied to?
I just wanted to throw this in as one of the clues that we can tell that we're being lied to, and it goes back to that filmmaker. Well, guess who weighed in on the filmmaker? It was the Southern Poverty Law Center that weighed in on the filmmaker and said he's a Coptic Christian, ex-Marine, and training militias in churches in California. And I'll let that just drop, because that is a huge red flag. When you want to think about sources and truth and what's going on, what the heck is the Southern Poverty Law Center weighing in on this for? Then you begin to trace it right back to the international financiers. And this tremendous turmoil, and then this QE3 snuck in right, you know, just right as if it was just normal business, everyday kind of stuff. So, and with the media controlled, it is unbelievable the network that has been created, and it is all a lie.
Maybe some of our listeners may not know what QE3 is. I'm sure some do, but maybe a little clarification there, because
you're the one to do that. But it's quantitative easing 3. It's the Fed injecting more money into the system now, and you have more of a succinct way of describing it, Terry. But thanks for clarifying. So this,
well, it's more bailout. That's the word people are going to understand. And what happens is that this bailout monies that they put out never end up in the pockets or for the use of a small businessman or to the average middle-class American. It basically facilitates a lot of money going a lot of different directions so that it can easily be stolen. And that's what they've done. Every time they've done one of these bailouts, a large amount of the money have gone to their cronies, and some of it they can't even trace. I mean, they can't even audit it to find out where it all goes. You know, we can follow a part of it, but a good punt and chunk of it just flat disappears into the cracks.
So where is this chunk going? Is it going to pay off the who's it going to pay off at this point, and how does it relate to what we've been talking about as well? Might be a little off topic, but I'll just stop right there.
Well, no, this paper or this monetized debt is created by the same very people that we've been talking about as far as these international banksters. They are the people who own our Federal Reserve. It's not federal. It is a private central bank. And our income tax has been put into place in order to pay the interest on their fraudulent, unconstitutional debt. And I'll say that again. It's a fraudulent debt. And all of the money that we pay out in income taxes goes to pay the interest, which is for a currency that our Treasury has the constitutional authority to issue without interest. And that's why these central banks are set up in all of these countries. And any leader who will not support that, their life is in danger. Every president that has fought them they've either attempted to kill him, like Jackson, for example. They tried multiple times to take out Andrew Jackson because he withdrew all of the assets from the central bank and refused to allow them to do what they're doing right now. He fought them on it. He stopped them cold when he was in the presidency, and they tried multiple times to take him out. The greenbacks were issued by Lincoln because they would not let them finance the North, and they took him out. Kennedy was printing silver certificates out of the Treasury, about $1 billion worth of them, got printed directly from the government instead of allowing the Federal Reserve to issue more fiat, fraudulent, counterfeit money. So they took him out. Gaddafi refused to allow their central bank to come in and manipulate his money system. They took him out. If you want to get taken out, fight the Federal Reserve and the family that's behind them. That's precisely who owns all of our media outlets. That's who controls your television set, all your cable, all the information that's coming. If those people don't report what they've been told to report, and not report what they've been told not to report, they lose their jobs or their family becomes threatened. That's what we're dealing with. Everything you're being told is a lie from the mass media, from the major media outlets, because they are controlled and owned, and their job depends on these international banksters, or as Alfred Lawson referred to them, alien financiers, which is a great name for them. So here we are, looking at Libya, looking at Syria, and we need to recognize the fact that those people were not attacking the American people, but they are attacking the people that the American people have abdicated the operation of our government to, have abdicated the operation of our money system to, have abdicated the operation of our education system to. We have cowered. We have let them take over our pulpits. And it's the very same people that are over there now creating situations to facilitate their hidden agenda. They want to start World War III, and they want to pump up the American people to believe that it's a necessary thing to do, and it is a lie. And that's the long and the short of it. And I'll be quiet because now I've gotten on my soapbox, and I'll back off and let you guys make your own comments to this, and maybe there's other examples of this worldwide going on that we need to bring out, and maybe you guys can think of that.
Yeah, well, Terry, can you hear me?
Yes.
I had it on mute, but I guess I had gotten it off. I think that, you know, there is so much belief in these lies. People believe the lies. And when someone tells a lie and somebody believes it, the liar has access, you see, to the believer's power. Now, I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, but say you've got one liar, and you've got 10 million people that believe the liar. The power of those 10 million people can be misused by the liar. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Now, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of at least 50 to 60 million Americans that are involved in evangelical Christianity that is teaching this lie that a Jew is God's chosen. Now.
And if they were truly of Judea, they were. But they're not. 92%
they
of them are not of Judea.
Right. They're not. We don't ever hear these Jews talking about the children of Israel, do they? What does the Bible talk about? The Bible talks about the children of Israel. Christ talked about my people. He had his people. And if he has his people, that, of course, gives old Lucifer a license to where he says, well, I've got my people. The counterfeit is in effect. And so the counterfeit, boy, if we could just get the American people to recognize the counterfeit and what it is and how it operates and how it deceives people. You know, I go back to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the 10th, 11th, and 12th verses, where the Apostle Paul said in the 10th verse, he said, if you don't have the love, if you have not received the love of truth, you are going to perish. You are not going to be saved. And then verses 11 and 12, it says this, for this cause, God sends strong delusion that they would believe a lie, that they might all be damned. You can talk to some denominational evangelical out here, and they say, oh, I love the truth. I love the truth. But when it comes right down to it, what they have a love for is their particular denomination's interpretation or the doctrine that they live by. It's not a love of truth. It's a love of a religious doctrine. And so when you've got people that believe the lie, and of course in my book, Walls in Our Minds, that's the first segment in my book, Walls in Our Minds, the difference between believing and knowing. Knowing is something that we have a total lack of in our society. People don't know anything. They've got a lot of belief. They believe a lot, but they don't have any knowledge. They don't have it. And because a lie believed is not knowledge. This is something that we cannot stress enough, is that those who believe a lie don't have knowledge. You know, I can say some things simply because of some of the things that have happened in my life, and I'm thinking of our research and such proving that the federal income tax is a total fraud. It is a total violation of law. And we have all of these massive amounts of documents from all of the states, all certified documents. And you see there's a law on the book, Title 18, Section 4. That's the criminal U.S. Criminal Code. It says that if I know of a felony that has been committed against me or the people of this nation, I have a responsibility to report that to a judge or other authority, even the military. And we did all this research back there in the early 80s. I co-authored the book, The Law That Never Was, and we've never had a judge or anybody else deny that we are, you know, tell us that we're inaccurate. They just ignore the law because Title 18, the Criminal Code, Section 4, says if I know of a crime, I have to bring it to the attention of the proper authorities. I've done that. We have done that. Hundreds of people across the country have done that. Taken the book, The Law That Never Was, Volume 1, and taking it to their politicians, their judges, and all the rest of them. And they absolutely refuse to obey the law of the land. Well, you know, as long as the American people are going to believe the lie, they're not going to have anything to worry about. The politician, the judges, and such, when they're confronted with the evidence of a lie, they don't have to worry because the people sitting on the grand juries are numb, you know, going both ways from their belt buckle. And they just don't have a clue what a responsible grand jury is supposed to be doing. And so the judges and all have been able to get away with felonies. Jail time is what the law calls for, is jail time if they judge or whoever it is, if they don't respond properly to the evidence. And so as far as I'm concerned, every federal judge in the United States of America is a felon. But they have nothing to worry about because there's 50 to 60 million somewhere in that area of people that go to church on Sunday, call themselves evangelical Christians, that have believed a lie. They don't have a love of truth. And as a result, Well, I'm worried about it. I'm concerned about it because of family and friends that are involved in this, you know, terrible crime that we have, where people are believing all these lies. And of course, here I am rambling again. I got to quit. So it's back to you, Terry.
Well, I'm going to let Kate jump in here.
Well, I'm with Red on the massive lies and the strong deception that's being sent our way, and how many would rather believe a lie than search the truth, than really find the truth. And I want to go back a second to the question you asked me earlier, Terry, which was, who benefits from what happened in Libya? And I have to say that Israel does. Because what it does is inflame the United States and the population, who would rather be inflamed about this than understand the distinction between the Jews and the children of Israel. And the international alien financiers' desires to reduce the population and to start these kinds of wars, you know, for nuclear Armageddon, but for their own purposes, so that we are all slaves or disenabled or poisoned or otherwise never free thinking ever again. And you then begin to look at who's behind that and what does this produce? Fear and terror and all of those feelings and emotions that are the object of chaos, are the subject of chaos. And it leads you to then, well, we need to have order, one world order, because everything is too chaotic. And therein is the counterfeit. And so when you begin to look at things from the standpoint of that counterfeit and Satan's plans, this is all completely orchestrated, and we have to step back and really discern what, if anything, our actions should be in this regard. And this is the kind of thing that affects each of us personally, and that is the intent as well. So I don't like to think that it's been a rout, but Satan is in charge right now, and woe to those who would rather believe that lie, because it's going to be unfortunate for them, unfortunate for all of us. So so I just at this point I am going to turn it back to you, Terry.
Well, I think it's important for us to really understand that the lies are being told worldwide, and that the conflicts are being fomented by these people who want to bring about the conflict. Which means it's just like when I was speaking to you earlier today, Kate, I was thinking about how in the time of Muhammad, the Jews and the Arabs were getting along just fine. They'd been trading with each other and had existed, for quite a lot of generations without having serious conflicts. And the Jesuits went in and convinced Muhammad and the Arabs that those in Israel, when this is before the nation of Israel as we know it today existed, but they convinced them that those that were of Judeos wanted to kill them, wanted them dead. And it was because of that fomenting that you know, the conflict between the Arabs and the Jews arose and finally blew up, if you will, and has been staying that way ever since. And a part of the reasoning and justification for that at the time was because they wanted to take out the Orthodox churches. The Orthodox Christian churches ended up being the ones that paid the price because the whole Mediterranean region, Orthodox Christians were pretty much wiped out. People can look into the history of the Vandals and the Ostrogoths and those also in the northern Africa. That might have been I always confuse which one of those three countries were the northern African one. But if you look at scripture and you see where it talks about the 10 horns that becomes 7, that was the way that they went from 10 to 7 was that the Jesuits went in there and fomented a battle where the Muslims were brought forward with Muhammad in leadership and eventually took out those Christian Orthodox churches in the region. So, I mean, this has been going on ever since Babylon, all the way back to ancient Babylon. It goes back that far. And so this battle that's been really coming to a head, and one of the reasons why we see this as being signs that really indicate we are in the end times is because of this spiritual battle that's going on. And we need to realize that these people are not of the Torah. They're not of the God of Israel. They don't worship that God. They worship Lucifer. And so the goal there is to take back the clay bodies that were created by the Creator God. And Red's, told that story about Genesis so many times about, he didn't speak us into existence. He formed us from the earth. And that's really what they want to do. They want to take us back and restore Satan's kingdom, which is on this earth, not of heaven. And we have this huge spiritual battle going on, and if we don't have God in front of us and as the top of the pecking order, as Red has put it, then our rights are gone, and that's what their goal is. That's why they're trying to foment this situation with the Middle East right now and wanting to create a third world war, and possibly that could involve an attack on Iran. But that's the purpose behind all of this, is to get God off of the top of the pecking order, and for these people who worship Lucifer, who wants to be God, and they also want to be God, that's what it's all about. So, Red, do you want to come in now and save me from wandering off someplace?
When I heard this the other night late that our ambassador had been murdered, and all I thought, the first thing I thought of, I've been trying to discipline my mind to respond with the proper thoughts and the proper mental situation where you know what's happening, the first thing I thought was, when you see these things happen, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And those were words right out of the scripture. And as I have mentioned before in other programs, how that Christ was explaining to the apostles back there in Matthew 24, 21 and 22, and that part of Matthew, he was explaining to what's coming, and how he said that things were going to get the worst that they've ever been on planet Earth, that it was going to be so bad that if the good Lord, if our Heavenly Father didn't step in and shorten the day, and that's Matthew 24:22, if God didn't step in and shorten the day, there would be no flesh saved. That's us. We would be gone. We would be rubbed out. And, of course, you see, that's the goal of Judaism. When you hear about, Agenda 21, that's all part of the game. They want to destroy, they want to wipe out at least 6 billion people on planet Earth because they say we're overpopulated. And so things are going to get worse than they are right now. But when we see these things, traumatic things happen, like what happened in Libya now, and you can be assured that you're going to see some more. There was a shock when Oklahoma City bombing happened, and there was a shock when the Twin Towers in New York went down and all. But this is when we're supposed to be the most optimistic. This is when we're supposed to be the most up to speed. We should be, when we see these things, we should have, the mental power to control our thinking to the point where we say, I'm going to look up because my Messiah King is somewhere out there and he's coming back and I want to meet him when he gets here. And so we're going to see more of the kind of thing that happened in Libya. We're going to see a lot of it, I'm afraid, because there is a desperation on the part of the Prime Minister of Counterfeit Israel over there, Netanyahu. He has been making some rather bad mistakes. It's going to be the things that's happening with our election process and all of that. It's a mess. Satan is the god of this world. That's what the Bible says. And you can see it every place you turn. You can see where it's his handiwork that's causing so much trouble. And so I won't get carried away here. I'll turn this back to you, Terry.
Well, I'd like to come back to you guys. We've got about a little over 35 minutes left to go in the show. And wondering where we should go with that last half hour with this. Kate, have you got any ideas on that?
Actually, no. I'm. Give me a second. Why don't you fill in for a bit and let me think on this for a minute?
Well, I was just about to post in chat the link for War is Always by Deception by Ryan Dawson, and I think that maybe a little bit of history related to the wars and how they've kind of come about might be in order, but that may be too much to try to cover in this short time. I'd rather focus back on this concept of how we're being lied to right now and what's going on with our media and the fact that we are not getting the whole truth and maybe not any truth at all. But I'm not sure where to go with that.
Well, let's. I think it's good to post the link to the movie War is Always by Deception, because it is. But why don't we try to recap here? So, number one, the whole world has been lied to, and we in America are being lied to, and because there is another agenda. And the people that control the media, the banking system, the entertainment industry, and our government are all working for the international financiers, a.k.a. Satan. Remember how Satan tempted Christ in the wilderness. He said, basically, you will have all of this, all of the world's power and kingdoms and glory and money and everything that you want if you just worship me. And remember about Red's brother-in-law or family member who was sitting in the room with the Jewish person who didn't bat an eye when he said that we worship Lucifer. There you go. The international financiers are worshiping Lucifer. They bought the temptation in the wilderness hook, line, and sinker, and that's where they're going. And so Satan has infiltrated every single system we have. Satan is now the ruler. He who lets will let. He who only lets now will let. I can't remember where that verse is, but basically this is all Satan's doing right now. We've all been lied to. Okay, so there are a few people who are awake, but the majority are not. And it is incumbent upon us who are awake to remain awake and to discern. As and I like the way Red said it, to discipline your mind when you look at these worldwide events, to not react, but to discipline your mind to take a look at what is truly going on. So if we take that discipline and knowing this context, then the murder of the ambassador in Libya is, number one, not an attack on America, but it's being used to foment the feeling that it's an attack on America. It was used as a cover for these same Luciferians, i.e. Ben Bernanke and others, to implement another system, another quantitative easing, another bailout, where the money's going to disappear. Where is it going to go to? Probably somebody who's going to make more war somewhere or drag us in. We have all this theater going on of our government officials and the media and the entertainment and the, you know, the evangelicals and so forth. And we have all this sympathy for Israel, not the children of Israel, but the Jews. And, you know, we've been dragged through these events and wars and traumas for a reason. And part of that reason is to absolutely make us more vulnerable to lies and to break our faith and spirit. And some of those pastors have swallowed Satan's temptation hook, line, and sinker. So when you take this all in a recap, what really is going on? What's next? What do you think is next in terms of this diabolical Luciferian plan? Is it that this is going to happen in America? Is it the attack on Iran? Is it the more demonization of both Christians and Muslims now? Because there where you have it with this filmmaker, right? He's being demonized. Of course, he's related to the militia, and he's an ex-Marine and a Coptic Christian. Gee, how convenient all those labels thrown on by not the FBI or not the Department of Homeland Security, but the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, this is insane, and it's total confusion, but it fits this sort of snowball of chaos in which we've learned to live. We're just living with this chaos. We're not seeing it. We just know that it's there, and nobody's clawing their way out of this. Those who are trying, you know, many of us are trying to claw their way out of this, but there are so many more people who would just rather believe the lie, go to war, and bomb the heck out of everybody and see what happens after that. And then, of course, on top of all of this is a presidential election going on. How crazy is this? So stepping back, you still have to come back and want the truth, even if the truth is so very disturbing to you. You have to have that truth. And I would say, with all of this, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It's definitely going to get worse. But we have to keep our heads straight and our hearts straight and in the right place to see what is going on here, lest we get sucked into this vortex. So as a recap, I think this has been a very, very good discussion this evening, and it's important to know that a lot of people, everybody in the world is being lied to. And if there are people like you, me, and Red here in America and a few others who are awake, believe me, there are others in other countries that are beginning to see this as well. And it's a matter of time now whether our awareness will be enough to beat this back. But it's inevitable that there will have to be a cleansing of this horrific, satanic system that has taken over the world. And Satan doesn't care, you know, what you're talking about or thinking about, so as long as you're not thinking about God or Jesus. And so, you know, it may sound trite to say so, but just keep Jesus in your mind. To keep your mind clear by thinking about him and praising him and looking at this time as the gift of all and remembering why we are here at this time, which is to witness this and to warn as much as we can those who will listen. Those who won't, I mean, that's all you can do is warn people. It's their own decision where to go from there. So the more we talk about this, the more we take apart these events and discern them and look at them and understand the history, the better off we're all going to be. You know, we're not going to win any quote-unquote Academy Awards for, you know, any show that we're doing and so forth, but what we win in is being part of the truth and being part to lay out. You've seen in my blog, anytime I start talking about the truth and talking about the Luciferians and the international financiers, I lose readers. And I get all kinds of people who get all mad. And I get lots of spam. And, you know, you just find out who people are, those who want to take the truth and those who don't. But there is no stopping the truth when you know it. And
heavy as slack over the target, eh?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, for me, I'm by certainly no means, you know, an expert in discernment. And, you know, a lot of people have that spiritual gift. It is a spiritual gift, you know, to really be able to see and speak the word and interpret the word that way. But as a regular old Kate, I'm just working as hard as I can to keep my mind clear and focused. With everything that's going on, this still is the most important in my life. You know, I may be eating peanut butter sandwiches, but, you know, I'm speaking the truth. And that, so I guess I would say that, again, as a recap, what we've been trying to do is trying to drill down to the truth, and maybe more shows like this looking at events and really talking about who's behind them will be useful to everybody. So I'll stop right there.
Well, Red always encourages us, Kate, to look at the positive side of this. And a lot of people, when I try to give them information or educate them on this, and I'm sure our listeners are having this experience, especially those that are out there taking some of this stuff and trying to spread the word to others, are finding that it depresses people, and they wonder how you, once you know all of this stuff, how you get up in the morning and go about your business and be productive and you know, what's the point, they want to know. I mean, if there's nothing left, and there is something left, isn't there, Red? Let's not forget that there is a victory to be had here, and Red, on that I'll give you the floor.
Well, I have been aware of these truths for a long time. Pat Shannon is a personal friend of mine, and of course his book was right on target. I was kind of reminded of, and it's kind of humorous. I'm a storyteller, as everybody knows, I think. I was on the New Hampshire presidential primary ballot as a Democratic candidate in 1984. And there was about 26 or 27, I think, that were running in the New Hampshire primary as Democrats. That's getting pretty crowded. It was a very interesting situation because we ran a one-hour TV special, and we got a lot of attention by it. And shortly before the primary date, and I don't remember which media, whether it was CBS, NBC, or ABC, but it seems to me it was ABC, they called in, they had a meeting with most of their reporters, and they had 26 or 7 candidates just on the Democratic side of the ticket. And of course it was a money making deal for the state of New Hampshire, because it cost me $1,000 to get my name on the ballot. But you see, I got a story to tell my grandkids, don't I? Anyway, that I ran for president of the United States. I was in the New Hampshire primary. Anyway, the TV news people, they had it all figured out, and each one of the news people was assigned to particular candidates. And each one had about a half a dozen or so that they were to interview and get their story, why they were on the, had filed their $1,000 for a spot on that primary ticket. I was kind of hard to catch up with because I was all over the country at that time, speaking at a lot of different functions. And the newsman had a hard time catching up with me. However, he finally caught up with me by phone. And when he told me who he was, why, of course, I recognized the name. He was a prominent network newsman, getting up in years. He'd been on that job for many, many years. And so we started our conversation, and it was pretty pleasant, And I said, after a bit, I said, well, I'd like to ask you some questions. And he says, okay. And I said, would you agree with me that our, that we were lied to about World War II. We were lied to about the Kennedy assassination. And I asked these questions individually, of course. There were several of them. And he agreed with me that we the people had been lied to about all these major stories at current time. I mean, this was not ancient history. This was current history. And he agreed with me that we had been lied to. And of course, this that kind of amazed me. And after I'd asked him these several particular questions, then I asked him, I said, well, how were these lies communicated to the American people? And there was a long silence on the end as he contemplated that, because he knew I had set a trap, and he had walked right into it. And I don't remember exactly how it all ended up, but, of course, I didn't get any kind of a write-up or anything else, because at that point in time, we had done our research on the 16th Amendment fraud. And, of course, I brought that out about the fraud of the 16th Amendment, how that the American people were being robbed with the income tax, which was an unconstitutional tax. And so it's been, you know, a lifetime. Of course, I think back to the Korean War days. My mother had three sons in that mess all at the same time. Over 50,000 of our American best blood was spilled in that fracas over there, and it was a total lie from day one. I was in a situation where I had a security classification, and I was I was kind of a privileged character in the military while I was there, and the closest thing I got to a foreign country was Texas. And but both of my brothers, younger than I, both of them ended up in Korea, and so it didn't take me long in the position where I was at. We had access to all the battle reports on a daily basis from Korea, and the war was going hot and heavy, as you probably remember, in 51, 52. Of course, brother just younger than I was there. He was on Pork Chop Hill and this type of thing. And I've often thought of it over the years. My mother, what a nightmare. For a mother, she had five sons, and three of them were in the military in that phony war, and two of them were in Korea and in very bad situations. You multiply that by the millions of people that were involved. Like I said, there was over 50,000 of our best young men that were murdered. It was murder, as far as I'm concerned, over there in Korea, in the Korean War. I have a personal friend, who was in the Marine Corps, Marine Air Force, and he was flying a Corsair, which was a famous airplane about that time, a great airplane, And when the Chinese came across the Yalu River and their hordes, massive amounts of people, they came across and they would, our people would spot these masses of people, and they'd load up those Corsairs with napalm. And he has told me a number of times how that they would come in low and drop that napalm on these thousands upon thousands of soldiers, Chinese soldiers. No one will ever know how many of them died because of those napalm raids. And it was just absolutely devastating. Our 50,000 lost was a drop in the bucket to what the Koreans and the Chinese lost in the Korean War. Every one of those people had a mother. They had a father. They had a family. They were part of a family. how do you calculate the losses? It's impossible. It's impossible to grasp the enormity of these terrible, terrible crimes that are being perpetrated against the human race on planet Earth by these scoundrels that have nothing in mind other than to get rich and to, Satan promised them the wealth, the power, and the kingdoms of the earth. And they're determined that their god Lucifer is going to give it to them. And so they have to eliminate a lot of people, a lot of good men die because we believe the lie. They told us a lie, many, many lies. And, I was young and my brothers were younger. And, my dad was in the Army in World War One, and my goodness, what a history. And it just hurts. It just, when you think about it, it gives you a real sense of fear. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and understand who it is that is perpetrating all of this terrible, terrible criminal activity against the people of this planet. So when we see these things happen like the other night, when we see things happen like Oklahoma City and the Twin Towers in New York City, when we see these things happen, we can look down, but I'll tell you, looking down is not going to help a bit. We need to be looking up and praying that simple prayer, even so come Lord Jesus. And then don't ever forget that Christ and the words that he gave back there in John the 8th chapter, if you know the truth, you can be free. Know the truth and you shall be free. And that's something that, boy, I'll tell you, we need to have that so embedded in our minds that we live with it 24 hours a day. Know the truth and the truth shall make you free. I want to be free. I want to be free, and there's only one place, there's only one way that I can be free, and that is if I trust, put my trust in my Heavenly Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only way I can have any peace or any confidence. But I've got that confidence because I've read the Scripture, and I believe I know that God does these things. I saw this happen as a younger person in my younger days. I saw a lot of miracles happening back in the 30s and the early 40s. I saw miracles happen. And, of course, the falling away has stopped the miracles. There aren't many miracles out there now that are happening. God ordained miracles. Because of the falling away. And that's another thing that we need to, keep that in mind, that we just have to keep that in mind because we're here and it's happening. It's happening in our day. So with that, I'll turn this back to Terry.
Well, I have a question for you, Red. I know that you're not afraid to die. I also know that you have not been afraid of most things in this life. I know that you feared for your family. I know that you have feared for those who do not know God. But basically, there's something that sustains you courageously and causes you not to fear things in this life personally. Can you tell us, from a layman's perspective, what that is?
Read what the Apostle Paul had to say. As he was facing the execution that had been decreed against, that he was to be executed, he said, "I've run the race. I've finished my course. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown," and he had no fear, none, because the one who had given him life, the one who made it possible for him to live the life that he did, no, was going to give him eternal life and a better world, a better life, and all of that. And I've thought of that so many times, and there's been many, many times that, you know, members of my family, my wife's family, they think I'm absolutely bonkers. But, you see, they won't listen and get the information that I have accumulated and access to. And so as a result, they're just looking at the cost. The cost has been pretty extensive. I spent a small fortune in this battle over these 35, 40 years. And I've won some battles with the IRS. I've won more than, I don't think there's anybody out there that's won as many battles as I have. You know, I've gotten checks, sizable checks in there from them, and when they got in court and got beat down, I've never had one of those checks bounce. I drop them on the floor to see if they bounce, and they don't. And so anyway, I cash them and go my merry way. But anyway, I guess it's that I saw back in the 30s, I saw it as a boy. I saw it with my father. I saw what happened when he gave his life to Christ and the effect that he had within weeks after he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and became a Christian. Within just weeks, and here's a guy with just a third-grade education. Of course, a third-grade education was a better education than kids are getting in high school now. But within weeks, he went and held a... I was born on a ranch in South Dakota. But he conducted a revival in a neighbor's barn that was the community entertainment center. That's where they had all their barn dances and any community affairs that were going on. It was in the neighbor's barn. And my dad got up in a pair of bib overalls and preached. But it wasn't preaching. He was giving his testimony. And there were seven or eight people that gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ because he was a witness, and he told what had happened to him, and other people wanted it. They wanted that what had happened to him. Oh, I could tell you a lot of things. I saw the miraculous. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I'm just so appreciative. I'm so thankful. And so I could tell you about some miracles, too, but we'll do that another time. But we're running out of time, so I'll turn it back to Terry.
Well, we've got a few minutes. Kate, you want to make any comment, follow up to what Red said?
How can I? That's, you know, it's just perfect. I just will say that I...
Actually, I think you can make a comment to it because you're beginning to... feel the same way. You're beginning to not fear anything in this life. And I heard that in your voice a while ago when you were speaking about eating your peanut butter sandwiches. So what is it that's changed that in you?
Faith. What is the opposite of fear? It is faith. And, you know, I had to learn that. I had to really roll around in the fear that I've had. I've just been terrorized by, you know, a lot of stuff in the last few years. And, no, I'm not afraid. And I'm not afraid to die either. And like I said earlier in another show, every day is a day to glorify God. And I don't like much what I see, but, you know, and I said prayers last night for people who don't know what they're doing and for all the people. So I just think the testimony, Red's life is a testimony, and his father's life and what he has seen and done. And I think that if we look in our own lives, we also have those testimonies. And speaking right now, I'm testifying as well. I have had some experiences where this has been revealed to me. So I am blessed to know Red and to know you, Terry, and to be on this journey. I don't know where my journey will lead, but I'm more than convinced right now, you know, what it is that I'm to be doing right here, right now, and this is part of it. So I'm really happy, if you wanna put it that way. I'm happy. So but that's about all I can say, Terry. I just am feeling a lot this evening about what we've talked about. I've been taking notes, and I guess when something resonates, you really know it. You really feel it resonate in your body, and that's what I've been hearing and feeling tonight. So I thank you both, and I praise the Lord.
Can I put in just 2 cents worth here?
No.
Over the years, many people have said, Red, aren't you afraid that they're going to rub you out? And I had a standard answer. Why should I be afraid? Because if they rub me out, that's a promotion. And, you know, I'm not going to turn down that promotion. So I'll shut up for now.
No, I'd rather for you to close us in prayer.
Oh, my. I'll tell you, I'm so glad that we're having these shows, and I just thank the good Lord for making it possible. And I just, you know, we haven't had this freedom to speak out like this on this kind of a forum where the possibility, you know, the Holy Spirit can cause people to turn on their computers and such, and just, you might say, accidentally, on God's purpose, tune into these programs. And we just don't know how many people there are that are being alerted to what's going on and all of that. But anyway, I'll say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee because You are so big and so great and so powerful. You're so rich. The wealth of the world is in Your hands. We have all those who are trying to gain the wealth of the world, and they are not going to be able to get the wealth of the world because the wealth of the world belongs to You. And we are going to be the heirs with You, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of that that is here. We know that You're going to redeem this planet. You're going to cleanse this planet. You're going to cast old Lucifer into the bottomless pit in chains. You're going to do that, and You're going to do that because You love us. You love this planet. You gave Your Son as a sacrifice to pay for our sins. And we just thank you for it. And we just pray that we would honor you and praise you and thank you somehow or other, that we might find a place where we can work, give our testimony, make ourselves available to do your work and to do what you would have us to do. We love you, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, we're looking forward to your Son coming and governing on planet Earth, the New Jerusalem. We're looking forward to it. Great anticipation, and we thank you for that promise. We ask these things now in thy precious name. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Red.
Good night.
Good night, Red. See everyone next week on Walls in Our Minds.